Thank you, Norman. Well, it is a joy to be here in Cumber this evening, not only in Cumber Free Presbyterian Church, but it was a pleasure and a privilege to walk with Cumber Loyal Orange District number 15. I just caught them as they left the Orange Hall. If you see me running down the street, I think it's called Railway Street, you'd be saying, there's a clergyman late, he must be at a funeral or something. But I took to the heels and run as quickly as I could and caught up with them, and I'm glad to be here. As Norman has said, my name's David McLaughlin. I'm the minister of Carrickduff Free Presbyterian Church. I've also come here wearing three hats because I'm the deputy county grand chaplain, at least one of them, in County Armagh. I'm also the junior county chaplain of County Armagh, and I'm also district chaplain of Tanbragee. So I've got three hats, but I trust and pray that you'll be able to put up with me this evening. You know, there's a wee story told about a wee fella. And they were going out of church, and he was shaking hands with the minister, and he put a pound note into the hand of the minister. God bless you, Reverend. So the minister looked at it. What's that for? He says, no, that's for you. I want to give you that pound. He said, son, I don't need a pound. You take that and buy sweets or buy something else. He says, no, minister, I want you to have it. Well, why do you want me to have it? He says, my ma says you're a poor preacher. So that's the way I feel like tonight. Now, it's really, really good to be here. It's lovely to see you. It's lovely to fellowship with the congregation in Cumber again. And we praise the Lord for the great mission that you had. Apologise that the Reverend Thomas Martin's on holiday, so he asked me to stand in. And it's lovely, as I said, to be with the Cumber District. And we bring you fraternal greetings, not only from District number 4 in Tanbragee, where Norman come from. We can have you back any time, Norman. And also from County Armagh. And we wish all of you here in Cumber that you'll have a glorious 12th day of July as we celebrate the 333rd anniversary of the Battle of the Boyne. I will be in Lurgan, and we certainly pray that both of us together and all of our Grand Lords, Orange Lords Institution, will have a glorious 12th this year and full of fun as well as we join together as brethren. Now, just before we bring God's word, I'm going to ask the district master, Darren Black, and he's going to come. I've got the scripture open here at Psalm 60, and he's going to come and read through it. Now, he's coming unprepared, but I trust and pray that the Lord will help him. Don't he? Aye, he might as well. It's smaller print.
Give your glasses.
Psalm 60.
Sorry, on the spot, folks. To the chief musician, God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and met out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot over Edom. I will cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hast cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. And may God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Would you thank the district master at short notice for coming and reading this portion of the Holy Scriptures. Let's unite together in a wee word of prayer and look to the Lord for his help and his blessing as we come together. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this district service here, for the Cumber District tonight, in Cumber Free Presbyterian Meeting House. Lord, we ask thee that thou will continue to be mindful of us. We need thee, Lord. Draw near and meet with us. Grant us a conscious sense of thy blessing. We pray, Lord, you'll bless to us the reading of the Word of God. And Lord, as we gather together here, we ask thee to be mindful once more of this Cumber District, number 15. Visit this district with much grace. And O God, may thy hand be upon it, and may it go from strength to strength. And O God, we look to thee that each time they visit the house of God, that they'll meet with the Christ of God, and that they'll rejoice in the grace and goodness of our God. We thank thee for the Grand Orange Lodge of Ireland. We bless thee, O God, for Grand Lodge, and we commend them to thee. We pray, Lord, that not only here in Cumber, but in Belfast, and in Lurgan, and throughout this province, we'll have a glorious 12th day of July, as we celebrate the 333rd anniversary of the Battle of the Boyne. We thank thee for King William III, Prince of Orange. We thank thee, O God, for our Protestant religion this evening. We thank thee for the rediscovery of the Reformed faith at the Reformation time. We thank thee for revivals that thou didst send to Northern Ireland in the past, in 1625, 1859, and the 1920s. And we think of our province once again in all its need, in the face of many, many enemies. O God, we cry unto thee. We look to thee for deliverance. We pray that thou wilt send thy light and truth. And Lord, amongst the nominal Protestant people, that they return to the house of God, a return to the book of God, and Lord, that there would be an honour for the Son of God. Have mercy to this end, we pray. We pray, Lord, also for our Roman Catholic neighbours. Deliver them from error, we pray. Send thy light and truth. Reveal to them that salvation is not in the church, but in Christ and in Christ alone. And our prayer is that they would turn in their hundreds and thousands from dependence on the church. And, O God, their mindset would be, their voice that's raised would be, in God we trust. Lord, we look to thee this evening that thou would accept of our thanks for the coronation of King Charles III. We bless thee for the vows that he took openly, and we believe most sincerely. And we commend Her Majesty to thee. And we ask you, Lord, that thou will bless him at this time. And Queen Camilla, remember the royal house, and raise up spiritual advisors that will bring to them even the light of thy truth. And, O God, we pray that as they're taught the way of salvation, like his mother of old, like other members of that family, that they will bow the knee and openly and unashamedly confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And, O God, as we pray tonight, we also ask thee to remember our dear brethren encamped at Drumcree. O God, we think of the past 25 years, and we commend Portadown District to thee, the stand that they've taken. We know it hasn't been easy. We know in the face of much criticism, O God, we pray you'll bless them. And even today, in the 25th anniversary, we pray that you'll strengthen them in their stand. And we pray that somehow, some way, a miracle by divine intervention will take place, that they can finally make their way home, even as they're encamped in Drumcree Hill. Lord, answer prayer for our Portadown brethren at this time. And we do thank you, Lord, even for remembrance in that time 25 years ago of the Cumber men coming over the hill and the cry going up, it's the Cumber men. And what a blessing that was to the Portadown district at that time. Lord, we ask thee now that thou will bless to us the reading of thy word. We pray that thy word will be light and truth even to us. We look to thee, O God, that thou wilt be pleased to visit us now with much grace. And as we listen to the word of God, open our ears, open our eyes, and open our hearts. We would also ask tonight you'll bless the Reverend Martin and Holiday, his wife and family. We thank you for them. Bless their labours of love here in Cumber. And we pray, Lord, that this house will become the birthplace of many precious souls. We thank you for souls that were saved at the mission. And we pray that even tonight that there might be repentance unto life amongst the congregation that meets in-house and also all who are online at this time. Just remember us now for good. And, O God, bless and help us. Cleanse me in that precious blood and grant the power and aid of thy blessed Holy Spirit. For we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now, my text this evening is taken from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17 and the verse 15. It reads as follows: "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. I want to set before you the theme tonight: recognize the Lord our banner. Now, all of us tonight, if not the majority, especially those of us who are involved in the Grand Orange Lodge of Ireland, we're familiar with banners, flags, standards. During this period known as the marching season, the banners play a very prominent role in each and every possession. Every lodge has its own banner. Each lodge marches behind its own banner or standard. Each lodge follows its own banner or the district or county banneret. Each banner is carried along a designated route. Each banner is carried by the men and brethren of that individual private lodge. Each banner is carried for the people to see. Each banner has a distinct message. And each banner is carried for the people so that they can take notice of, and they can learn from and understand. Each banner's cherished. Each banner's loved and carried with dignity, decorum, pride, and a sense of duty. The other day I was in Sloane's house and saw some banners that were over 100 years old, and we were having a discussion with them there about these banners that were once carried in possession. Do you know that there's 7 references to the word banner in the Bible? 6 distinct direct references. Now think of the number 6. You see, in biblical numerics, the number 6 is the number of man. You have to think of Antichrist, 666. These 6 references, Psalm 20 verse 5, Psalm 60 verse 4, part of which was read in our hearing by the deputy or the district master. Song of Song chapter 2 verse 4, his banner over me is love. Song of Song 6 and 4, the church is an army terrible with banners. Song of Song 6 and 10, Isaiah 13 and 2, but there's another reference that makes 7. And that's the first reference to the word banner in the Bible. And it's in Exodus 17, verse 15. Let me read it again. "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi." And in our authorized version, in the margin, it says, the word Nissi means, or Jehovah Nissi means, "the Lord my banner." Now that's interesting, because to me that's a wonderful, unique name of the Lord. And it's cited in the context of having victory for the people of God at a place called Rephidim. And if we add the word ensign in the scriptures, there's 9 times it's mentioned. Add the word standard, it's mentioned 22 times. You get a total of 38. Now let me tell you something. The Grand Orange Lodge of Ireland didn't invent the banner. They were in existence long before that. They were in existence long before King William crossed the Boyne in glorious victory on the 1st of July, 1690. Do you know tonight that each of the 12 tribes of Israel that marched out of Egypt, having been delivered by the power of the blood of the Lamb, led by an 80-year-old man, as they crossed the Red Sea, as they journeyed into the wilderness, each tribe marched and walked behind its own banner. They walked in possession, each in its own tribe, all in ranks and rows. To me, that would have been a wonderful sight to behold. Do you know what's a wonderful sight to behold? A Loyal Orange Institution demonstration. But this would have been even a more glorious sight because there was 2 million people in possession. Men and women and children. And I have no doubt that as they marched, And as they looked to their banner, they were thinking of these words, "The Lord is my banner." I want you to think of three things tonight. The identity of the banner. You see, Moses, after the battle of Rephidim and the victory won, set up an altar and he called it, as I've said, Jehovah Nissi. And that means, as I've pointed out in the margin of the Bible, "The Lord is my banner." And the first reference, you see, when I went to Bible college, I was taught the first reference is very important. It stands out, it's unique, it sets the scene for all the rest. And in the context and the setting here, after the Amalekites had attacked and been defeated, the altar was built. Here was the name, and the name was Jehovah Nissi, "The Lord is my banner." Over there in Psalm 20 and verse 5, we read the words, "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." And if we go back to Psalm 60 and verse 4, it says, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that may be displayed because of the truth." Selah, the word Selah means think about that. You see, who or what is this banner that the psalmist is making reference to? And I put it to you tonight, it's none other than the banner of Christ. I put it to you that it's the banner of the cross. If you think of the shape and design of our bannerets, you've got a long pole, then you've got a pole along the top, and then you've got a silk or linen cloth that's been hand-painted, and it's hanging down with an ornate design and a message on it. And to me, that's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his personal work. And I want you to know tonight who the Lord Jesus Christ is. If we were to ask, will the real Jesus of Nazareth stand up? You see, some people tell us that he was just a good man who went about doing good things, saying nice things. He was a gracious man. In fact, they said, "Never man spake like this man." Other people said, "But he's a great man. Look at the miracles that he's able to work and bring about healing for people's bodies. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, even the dead are made alive." Now, the Lord Jesus was a good man and a gracious man, and he is a great man, but I want to tell you more. Brethren, sisters, listen, he's the God-man. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And I believe, as a minister of the gospel, in the doctrine of the incarnation and the doctrine of the virgin birth of Christ, because without the incarnation and the virgin birth of Christ, you do not get to Calvary. And why did he come? Timothy said, 1 Timothy 1 and 15, in fact, it was the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, and this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And what did he do? He went to the cross, and he died there in agony and blood. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You see, without the shedding of blood is no remission. And how did the children of Israel get out of Egypt? It was by the blood of the Lamb. The 10th plague. And death angel came. And they put the blood on the doorposts, on the lintel, on the two sides. And those in that house were kept safe because of the presence and power of the blood. Could I ask, do you know him tonight? Can you say, "The Lord, my banner"? Is he your Lord and Savior? Here's an important question. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema." The word anathema means go to the lowest hell. As a little girl was invited to one of her friend's house for a sleepover, as little girls do. So the mummy's making the dinner the next day, and there's buttered broccoli on the table. And she said to the wee girl, "Do you like buttered broccoli?" "Oh, yes, I love buttered broccoli." So the bowl came round and was handed to the wee girl. And the wee girl said, "No, thanks. But I thought you liked buttered broccoli." "Oh, I do love it. I do like it, but not enough to eat it." And you see, that's the way many of us are in relation to the Lord. We're commanded, brethren, sisters, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all our strength. We're commanded to love our neighbour as ourselves. Now, we can't do it in our own strength or power. That's where the new birth comes in. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." And I would urge you, my brethren, to think about this question. Do you know and love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You see, the banner points us to Christ in his personal work. It points us to the cross and his blood shedding. It points us to his care for us. Song of Solomon 2 and 4 says, his banner over us is love. And how do we love God? How do we love our neighbor? How do we love our brethren in the institution? Here's the answer. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. It's not by your own strength or power. You see, many are in love with themselves. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They have a love for money. They have a love for position, a love for power, and a love for possessions. But our love for God must be first. Our love for our neighbor is the outworking of our love for God. You can't say you love your neighbor if you don't love God. And if you love God, if you're a true lover of God, born of the Spirit, then you will also have a love for your neighbor. I want you to think, secondly, not only the identity of the banner, the Lord is my banner, but think about the centrality of the banner. What does the psalmist tell us there in Psalm 20 and in the verse 4? He said this. Think of these words. We will rejoice in thy salvations, verse 5. And the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. You see, every banner is made to be manifest. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. In other words, we will make it manifest. And where's the banner set up? Well, it's set up at the front. It's given a prominent place. It's central to the life and witness of the private lodge, the district, the county, to Grand Lodge itself. And when we think of the centrality of the banner given a prominent place, making it manifest, then the question has to be asked, is the living and the true God central in your life? It's not just a matter of knowing him and saying that you know him and love him. He must be central. You see, that's the context of the reading there in Psalm 60 that I got the district master to read to us, because it says in this particular psalm, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." Selah. In other words, the psalmist was being very bold here. This is in the context of the psalmist seeking God. He's in prayer, and he's saying, "Oh, turn thyself to us again." And is that not a prayer that we need to pray for Northern Ireland at this time? God has visited Northern Ireland in the past with three glorious heaven-sent revivals of true Bible-believing religion. And I want to tell you, things are as bad now as they were in 1625, in 1859, and 1920s, if not worse. Our people, and I say this with shame, our people seem to have turned their back on the Lord. And they've forgotten him. And they've forsaken him. And I want to say, even though I'm a Free Presbyterian, I call on the loyalist people of Northern Ireland to return to the house of God. Wherever they choose to go to, that's between them and the Lord. Return to the house of God, that they might hear the word of God, that they might engage in the worship of God again, because thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. And you see, what's absent from Northern Ireland is the fear of God. In many of our loyalist communities, there's no fear of God. And it needs to be rediscovered. And what is the fear of God? It's being in the dread of him. It's the wee fella coming out of school, skipping out the gate and turning the corner and seeing the school bully and thinking, "I'm going to get the head beat off me if I go up near him." Dost thou fear God? Or the wee same fella getting an invite to Buckingham Palace to meet King Charles. You can think of the awe that wee fellow would have meeting the king. Can't wait to get out to tell Granny or Mummy. You see, that's what the fear of God means. Being in the dread of him. Being in the fear of him. But that is missing. And I call upon our people to repent of their sin. To repent of the fact that they have turned their back on the Lord. I call upon them to come back to the house of God on the day of God and offer praise and true worship to God. Because there's been a leaving off of faithful attendance. Why is our churches sitting half empty? Why have four Methodist churches had to close in Bangor? And that's a shame. Because the people have abandoned the house of God. And of course, oftentimes they've abandoned the house of God because they're not hearing the message of God from the pulpit. And therefore I blame the clergy. But I call upon our people to return to the house of God, to the reading and studying of the book of God. This book, the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, be instructed before leaving earth. This Bible is central to our life. It's central to our institution, private lodge, district, county, grand lodge. And we need to get back and rediscover what's in the book. It's not enough to say, I love the Bible, but not enough to read it or study it or to meditate upon it. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Here's the psalmist in prayer, and he's crying to God, oh, turn us to thyself again. You see, there's no prayer meetings. Where's the call for prayer meetings in our churches? Once again, nights of prayer, half nights of prayer. You see, we have no sense of dependence on the Lord. Sadly, many of our people pay lip service to the house of God, the book of God. Many of them would rather have booze than the Bible. And that is so wrong. It's so sad. That's why I'm issuing this call for repentance. And it's not only our brethren. It's all of the loyal people in Northern Ireland. And the Roman Catholic people as well. I even call on the Secretary of State to repent of this act of abortion that he has brought in. And this RSE that he's introduced into Northern Ireland. This is wrong and sinful. And it needs to be recognized as that. Each banner is made manifest quickly. Each banner has a message. You know, I had the privilege this year. I'm just newly installed in Tandragee District as the district chaplain. I was the lay chaplain for a long time, and then I was the deputy chaplain. Now I'm the pleasure of being the district chaplain. But I had the pleasure of unfurling a banner there from Drumbanniker 253 in County Armagh. And of course, it had the late Queen Elizabeth on one side. And we thank the Lord for her life and legacy. Her love for Christ. And then on the other side, it's got the picture of Latimer and Ridley being burnt at 16th of October 1555 at the stake in Oxford, outside Oxford College. And remember what he said, Latimer said to Ridley, be of good cheer, Master Ridley. Play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out. You see, each banner has a message. And I love looking at the messages on the banner. Name of the lodge, its number, district, county. You can think of the words, in God we trust. You can think of the words, William at the Boyne, no surrender, shutting of the gates of Londonderry, the battle of the Somme, Gideon's faithful few. You see, the message is seen. The message is on the banner to be read, to be understood, to be believed. And you see, this is what we're about. Grand Orange Lodge of Ireland is a religious organization. It's rooted in the Bible. And like William, whenever he came to the shores of England, we stand to maintain the true Protestant religion. And we thank God for our Protestant Reformed faith. And I'll tell you, the Grand Orange Lodge of Ireland is the greatest fraternity in the world. And God has raised it up to maintain our Reformed faith and our Protestant way of life. And you know the central message? It's a message of love. And that hasn't changed. Just like the message on the banners hasn't changed year on year. The message is the same. Love to God, love to our neighbor, love to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was taken up with this message, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And God's love's eternal. God's love is free. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is personal. God's love is continual. You know, Edward Carson's favorite text was John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And over there in 1 John and chapter 4, we read these words in the verse 9. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And think of this as I wrap this point up, the centrality of the banner. You think not only of the manifesting of the banner and the message of the banner, but think of the markings on the banner. As I've said, you've got the name of the lodge, the number of the lodge. You've got the pictures back in front depicting battle scenes, whether at the Somme or William at the Boyne. Every banner has distinct markings. And the gospel banner, of course, has distinct markings, because we've got to think of the precious wounds of Christ. You think of him dying in agony and blood. The Bible tells us, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you come to Calvary, there's the greatest demonstration of God's love anywhere that you could imagine. You by faith stand at that cross. And think of Paul's words, the Son of God who loved me gave himself for me. And all the horrors of that physical, mental, emotional suffering by the horrible death of crucifixion, Christ bore it. And he bore it to demonstrate and command how much he loved each of us. That's the markings of the banner. Let me tell you something else as we finish. Think about the priority of the banner. That night in Tandragee, the 23rd of June, unfortunately it poured out of the heavens. And the new banner in Drumbanagher got soaked and had to be left in the district hall for a time. But I was thinking of that as I left. You know, the banner's not really designed to be stored away. It's not designed to be hidden away. It's designed to be carried. It's designed to be followed. It's designed to be maintained. And you think of the banner of Christ and the banner of the cross. It's to be carried in our hearts and in our lives and on our lips. It's to be followed as a central thing. It's to be maintained by the grace and help of God. And I ask this as I finish. What banner are you marching behind? Are you behind the banner of Christ? The banner of the cross? The banner of truth and righteousness? You see, when you follow the banner, you're saying, I identify. If it's Drumbanagher, like in County Armagh, I identify with Drumbanagher 253. Or your banners here in the Cumber District, you're identifying with your private lodge. And you're saying all that banner stands for. That's what you believe in, that's what you uphold by the grace and help of God. And it's the same with Christ and the cross and the banner of truth and righteousness. When we follow that, you're saying, I identify with Christ. I identify with the cause of the gospel. I identify with God. I trust that we'll do so proudly. And as I finish, I asked, are you one of his children? Do you know and love him tonight? Is he central in your life? Can you say with David's men of Christ, thine we are, and in thy side we stand, thou son of Jesse? As I've mentioned about William, when he came and landed in the shores of England, he declared this from his masthead on the boat. The Protestant religion and the liberties of England I will maintain. Why? Because he was identifying with Christ. He was identifying with the Reformed faith. William was one of his. He wasn't ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Do you know why he was down at Enniskillen some time ago? I got a wee boat out in one of them islands, and the man that was doing the wee tour, he said to me this, "Did you ever hear of the Queen of Tresna?" I said, "No." He says, "Well, her name was Margaret Elliot." He said, "She lived till she was 108. She was married to an Orange man who died some time into the marriage. Don't know what happened to him. But they had 11 children. And he says when she was 89, she rowed her boat into Enniskillen, 3 miles. And each time she came in, she wore a collarette. And she walked around Enniskillen getting her groceries with the collarette on. And every place that she was, she proudly wore her collarette. And whenever she died at 108, it was the priest that wrote a special 2-page tribute, I think it was in the Impartial Reporter, about Margaret Elliot. And you can read about it in Sloane's House. If you ever come down to Sloane's House, there's a special little plaque there in one of the rooms telling you about that particular woman. And that's the mindset that we need among our brethren and among our sisters and among our people. And I commend this little message to you tonight. The Lord is my banner. His identity, you have to know him and love him. The centrality, it's manifest. It's got a message. And the markings are there, clear to be seen. Are there markings of the new life in your life? Are you a new creature in Christ? Can you say, "I belong to Jesus"? And then think about this priority. Out of love for him, you put him first. And you carry, you follow after and maintain until you die the banner of the cross. Christ for me and no surrender. God bless you. Thank you for listening. We're going to sing the closing hymn. We're going to ask Norman to come back and sing.